Welcome to Coming Off the Reels. My name is Drew Martin.
I'm Sean McClain.
And I'm Roy King.
And tonight we're going to talk about In the Heights, the new musical written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, directed by John M. Chu, starring Anthony Ramos, Melissa Barrera, Corey Hawkins, and Leslie Grace, along with a bunch of other people, but it would take a long time to go through the whole cast.
Yes.
So
Jimmy Smits.
Right?
Oh, yeah, man, yeah, yeah.
Hey, the woman from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Stephanie Beatriz.
Oh, yeah, Stephanie Beatriz.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she's great in it, too.
It's so weird to hear her voice, like her natural voice. Like I'm so used to Rosa. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, it's so jarring.
Like, her smiling.
Exactly.
It was kind of a weird adjustment for me.
And like it's so high pitched. It's like, hi there, it's me. And you're like, you're just so used to that. Yeah, I'm Rosa. Flawless impression.
It was perfect.
You nailed it.
Back in rare form. Let's do it.
Roy, what did you think of In the Heights?
I really liked it. I never heard any of the music before, so this was like I went in cold, and I kind of stopped myself from listening to it because I wanted to go in blind on this. And yeah, I thought it was a lovely little story. I thought everybody was really good in it. I loved all the color, and some of the musical sequences were fantastic. Overall, I had a lot of fun with it.
Nice. Sean?
I mean, to sound like a broken record, yeah, I echo almost everything that Roy said. Like, I love the color. The use of color in this movie is just phenomenal. And especially, like you said, and we'll get into it, but there was some musical numbers that just were just so poignantly just used color so well and like really accented everything that, you know, Lin's words trying to come through. I love the overall theme of this. And I too had no real recollection or no real experience with this musical. So I was also coming in pretty cold to it. But I mean, almost immediately I was on board when Usnavi, Anthony Ramos' character, he comes out of the house. Like, this was in like the first 2 minutes of the movie. Comes out, he's got like the fresh drip on and everything, ready to start the day. And
he comes out.
Drip, his clothing, you know, his fit.
Hold on.
Pause.
Come on, you guys aren't that. We're not that old.
No, drip? I've literally never heard.
You've never heard of drip?
I'm not saying it's not an expression. I'm saying that I'm not familiar with it.
So explain it to us. If you have fresh drip, you have good, like, good outfit on?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like if you have the fit, if you have the drip, like, it's just, you got a fresh-looking outfit. Like,
okay.
I have never heard that before.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Continue.
Thank you.
Continue with the how did you like In the Heights?
But I was instantly on board when, like I said, it was Navi comes out and he's ready to start the day and he steps in a wad of gum, goes to scrape it off his shoe, and then when he scrapes it off, it's on a manhole cover, and when he does it, it like scratches like a turntable, and I was like, okay, if this is the theme and this is where we're going with this movie, I'm all on board. All on board. So
I
had a great time with
that
it.
Part too.
That part, which kind of reminded me of like any 90s Saturday morning cartoon commercial.
Oh, yeah.
It had that feel to it. Like it was fine, but that was like one of the weird, like, this is kind of a weird part of this. Like, I expect them to be selling gushers to me.
Like a Go-Gurt commercial or something.
I forgot about gushers.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They hold up. So In the Heights is a musical.
Well, Drew, what did you think?
Oh,
you didn't.
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. Like, this was Courtney's first time back at the theater since March of 19, and she had a great time with it. I had a great time with it. I loved all of the music. I had listened to the show before, and so I was a little concerned that like I'd be like, oh well, I'd rather be listening to Lin do the part that Anthony Ramos plays or Chris Jackson doing the part that Corey Hawkins plays. But those guys ended up like owning this and they were fantastic. So
yeah, I loved Anthony Ramos in this movie. He was 100%. He was so fantastic in this.
Yeah.
Like, and you just, oh yeah.
But you could still hear, it's like, it's almost like he's trying to do a Lin impression sometimes.
I caught a little of that.
Yeah,
well.
I could see that.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But,
and I think that is because of some of the lyrics. Like, I wonder if he couldn't help himself.
Sure.
You know, or if it was a choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I want to get into scenes and songs and all that stuff, but the basic plot of this is kind of the neighborhood of Washington Heights in New York, and it's the hottest days of the summer, and it's the relationships with like father daughter, cousins, romantic relationships, also sprinkling in a lottery ticket that's been sold that's the winner for $96,000, and everybody kind of, you know, wanting their way out of their current situation, and kind of the story's unfolding. So mm-hmm. yeah
It's a pretty loose plot, you know. There's not like A to B to C, you know.
Right, yeah.
It is kind of a widespread story that's told like throughout the neighborhood.
Well, and it's very, yeah, it's very character driven. So like you get a lot of character development, a lot of, you follow kind of the main four characters, but they also give a lot of promise to each of the people. Yeah, yeah.
They give a lot. Like that's what I was gonna say. Like when you think about Hamilton, where it's like it's diminishing returns once you get past the first two, three, four characters in this. But I feel like, you know, we knew enough about like our four main leads, but we also knew enough about Abuela, and we knew enough about Jimmy Smith's character and the mm-hmm. salon mm-hmm. girls and mm-hmm. everything mm-hmm. like that. So I was
the,
like
the cousin.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Loved
that
him.
Kid.
I loved that
so
kid.
So great. Yeah.
He was charming. He was funny. His musical number by the pool was fantastic.
Let's just dive right in.
Yeah.
excellent.
So obviously there's very little to spoil here. So we're just going to maybe geek out on different songs, and we're going to do this terribly out of order. So
yeah, we'll probably bounce all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 9,600 or 96,000 song, beginning to end, I just had the stupidest grin on my face.
Oh, it was the with the four of them and like all those graphics that would come
up. And I loved all of that. I thought it was so cool.
It was so much fun.
And like even just like the overhead shots too of like with Vanessa like kind of floating in the pool and like them doing the synchronized choreography like around her, like just some of the camera angles and some of the camera shots that John M. Chu was able to pull off just was fantastic.
Yeah.
It, yeah. But I mean, just like that progression of the cousin, like running up to him, telling him that, cause you know, at this point it's the hottest day. Is there no power at this point?
No, there's no power. It's just before the blackout.
Okay. Yeah, so it's just really hot. And they decide, Anthony Ramos decides to shut down the bodega. And they all go for a pool time, which I think is great. I wish more businesses just allowed you to shut down.
Right?
Go swimming.
Gone swimming. Right? I think that was the sign.
Yeah. Pool hour.
So, yeah. Yeah. It's them walking to this pool initially, like talking about what they would do with this 96,000. And then the entire community is basically at this pool. And we move in and out of different like people's lives. And each one of them has their own style of music. It's very similar to the song in Hamilton, the all skate one. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not nonstop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it's just mashing up everybody's like mm-hmm. the musical theme that he's assigned to these characters, and the dancing in this was incredible. Like
yes,
the choreographing those pool scenes, mm-hmm. amazing.
Well, yeah, even the opening number, like the In the Heights, like when Uznavi comes out in the street and he, just like how many extras they had just like dancing and like, oh, it was amazing. Like the scope of this movie, like some of the dance scenes and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, it was fantastic.
There was some CG pool, like water splashing that I was like, nah, like they were dancing in the pool and then faking the water splashing around. Like, obviously, people couldn't dance in the water the way they were dancing.
Sure.
And I was just like, okay.
I believe that was all actually water in the pool.
It looked like fake-ass water to me.
Because I actually, here's the thing. I read an article today about how they shot all of that. And, like, they were like, we had to do 20 different versions of the dance to figure out, like, the right water level height, because if it's too low it looks stupid, and if it's too high then you can't move around enough.
Interesting.
Like there's a, I mean, it was a pretty weird thing where they were talking about the scene Sean was talking about before, where she was like floating in the middle of the synchronized swimmers, and they were like, we couldn't get her, the float to stay where it needed to be with all the swimmers around. So then we just had to shoot both of those separately and like lay them over the top of each other. But even then she kept floating out of frame. So John Chu jumped into the pool and like just held onto the float, and then they removed him later.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's one way to do it.
But nice. I guess they shot that whole sequence in 3 days.
Wow. I mean, that's impressive. The scope of that thing, if there was fake splashing or not, I'm not going to die on that hill. If it was real, I choose to believe that. And I think that it was really impressive scene.
I mean, then maybe they added some little splashes at the end.
Yeah, maybe.
So
it's not a big deal. I don't care.
They did have to do a lot, because they were saying like it was actually like cold and cloudy. So they had to like color correct the water and the sky.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And even some of it, like, because they had like this 3 day window before the pool actually opened up. And the pool actually does exist in Washington Heights of New York.
Cool.
Nice.
But they're like, we have 3 days until the pool opens. And then it always seems to be the reverse, but they had to shoot stuff at night and make it look like it was in the day because they were running out of time.
Ooh.
And that's, you know, I see plenty of stuff where, you know, they shoot it in the daylight and then color correct it to make it look dark. Yeah. You can always tell because everything has a reflection as though the sun is still on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
All right. So that number aside, which I feel like we could talk a lot about it and it's cool. And this is where the cousin, where Sonny, yeah, his little segment in the pool was amazing.
Yeah.
His rap was amazing. Yeah. So
just
good.
holding his own
with
this cast. Like it was impressive for this young kid who was probably like 12 to 14 or something like that.
I think he's probably what, 16 or 17?
He's currently 16. So considering this movie's delayed, because it's supposed to come out,
he would have been 14. Yeah. So okay. But no, I love that whole scene too, not only just because he was prominently featured and just killed it, but then like you had everybody else in the block and everybody else in the cast that was hyping him up and like, you know, just like go, you know, you're killing this, and just I just love the sense of like community and like the how it all feels like a family, like all of these different people, you know, maybe they didn't, you know, they weren't related, but they all just knew each other, like they all just had a shorthand with each other, and like you felt that sense of belonging, that sense of family throughout the whole movie.
I really liked there was no like antagonist at all. Like there's no like jerk guy who's like bullying Navi, you know, like it's just like their lives.
It's not an evil land developer or anything like that.
Yeah, right. It's just, you know, the blackout, sure, that was a pretty
big
challenge for them, but it was all about them trying to just figure their lives out. And that's, you know, that's hard enough. That's antagonist enough for everybody to relate
to. Sure. Well, especially in a community like that, that, you know, I don't think it was a poor community, but it was like it wasn't an affluent area during that time. So like, you know, there's a lot of people and there wasn't a lot of wealth going through. There's like the little bit of, you know, fortune and success that they had, they really cling to it. And, you know, they really backed that business, like especially like Jimmy Smith's, his cab company and everything like that. That was kind of one of the main hubs. Like, I guess he was the main successful person. Like everybody kind of knew him on the block as like the main guy that was able to like, you know, kind of go from rags to riches kind of, and everything.
Man, I love Jimmy Smith's in this movie. I thought he was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a Jimmy Smith's guy anywhere. He just was lovely, and I just love the relationship with him and his daughter, and the struggle of him trying to pay for a college, but then her struggle of not wanting to go back. It was all just really well done.
I'm a huge fan of his, straight out of Compton. He's amazing. But Corey Hawkins in this was so good.
Yes.
And I loved his relationship with Jimmy Smith's daughter, who was, what was her name?
Vanessa.
Or
Nina. Yeah.
Like, I thought they had a great back and forth. And they have a song towards the end where I loved it slash when like one thing happens and Courtney had pointed it out and I agreed with her, like it was a bad part of the song. The song where they dance up the side of the building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I loved almost all of that. The shot where they dance across the window and the kid sees them, it's not good. Like I didn't.
What do you mean? What don't you like? About? Well, like it didn't look good, didn't like or the just initial, the idea of it.
The initial overhead shot is not good. Like it's bad CG there.
Oh,
but
okay.
Then,
oh,
okay.
If you're like creating this whole like magical realism moment, you can't bring a third party into it like that.
You know? Oh, like okay. the kid actually yes. saw them dancing up a wall.
Right.
So like they were actually dancing up a wall.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You okay. know, like it could have just been like, oh, like the heightened emotions made us feel like we were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then we bring in some kid who's just eating dinner and it was
yeah,
like
just for the joke of it.
Right. And it just like unnecessary.
It. Yeah. I didn't think about it that way or I forgot about that part, but yeah, I agree with you. It's unnecessary.
But
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't have, it didn't take me out of it though. I mean, like, I understand the argument. I just,
well, I think, and also like for me, like I said, like there's an overhead shot where that shows them dance across the window. And yeah. that is clearly like a CG moment, but like yeah. everything, like when they're moving up the side of the building, like I want to see how they did that. Like if it was just on a big gimbal that rotated, because mm-hmm. that all moves like very fluidly.
Yeah, I thought fire, that like, looked really good.
Yeah, like yeah. the fire escape when they actually use the fire escape to kind of like dance around or like,
yeah.
mm-hmm. I think Nina like has some kind of like spin move where she uses like, but it's on its side versus like how it would normally be.
Yeah, yeah. She actually slides down.
Yeah, yeah,
a little
yeah.
bit, and so like all of that looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Just you know, one tiny, minor little complaint.
Oh, I loved how that shot ended too. Like they're kind of like they're laying against the side of the building, like they're laying down, and then like all of a sudden the camera tilts back up, and then they're actually like standing up, leaning against the wall. Like I love that kind of transitional shot that they did. But yeah, I that was one of my favorite parts. Another musical number I loved and that just broke my heart was when Abuela, like when she died, like during the blackout and everything. And specifically the part like when she has the choice of either going back to her body or up the stairs into the yeah. light. And then it was like that almost like kaleidoscope of like fluorescent, like neon color.
That,
like
that shot was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, that tunnel all lit up. That was beautiful.
Yeah. And I mean, you kind of got the feeling too, like, and they heavily foreshadowed it before, like she actually did it. But like when she's laying down during, like, you know, all of the fireworks are going off and she's seeing like, you know, all of the block, like in her house, and she's kind of watching him. She's kind of laying down and you're like, oh no, 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 don't do this. And then it's less like,
even before that, like the opening, the introduction of the character, it's, she doesn't take her medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So you at that point it was like, oh
yeah, foreshadowing, that's gonna happen. But then yeah, you just when she lay down, I'm just like, no. And then like she's kind of recounting like her experience coming to America and like all of the kind of the jobs that she had to do and, you know, all the things that she saw and everything. It was just yeah, that whole dance sequence, that whole musical scene was just amazing.
I thought she was fantastic.
Yes. Yes.
Like I loved her character so much. She was so like welcoming and warm, and I could feel like the love that she had for just everybody in mm-hmm. the neighborhood, you know, like she didn't have kids. And so she basically adopted everybody as her own and treated them as such. She's just a lovely character.
Yes.
And Sean, in that song, one of my favorite moments, and I had already texted Roy about this, is there's a part where they shoot up all these beams of light from the floor and she walks up to one of them and like grabs the beam and like it immediately, like she's back in the subway and it's the subway yeah. pole, but it's yeah. like so seamless. Like it just looked amazing. I was like, oh damn, that's an impressive shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, John M. Chu, like he just, oh, I mean, going back to like Crazy Rich Asians, like I love that movie as well. Like the way he shot that. And it's just, it's a lot of the same color palette, he used water too in that one pretty effectively as well, if I remember right, like at the very end.
It's been, I don't remember much about that.
With like the wedding, like there was the wedding with, but like around it was like all water, if I remember correctly. Cause I remember watching that and being like, man, there's going to be a lot of people that watch this movie and a lot of brides that are going to be like, I want to do that. And it's like, you're going to have a bunch of disastrous wedding parties and wedding receptions if like people try to do that or try to replicate this.
But I would never trust myself with something like that. I would, no, without question, fall into the water. Almost immediately.
Yeah. Oh, because you're just you're overthinking. You're like, don't fall in the water, don't fall in the water, don't fall in the water. And then all of a sudden, you're just like, take one step, and you're like, I'm in.
I'm also insanely clumsy. So,
so are there other like songs? I mean, again, we could go down like break down every single thing. But are there like any parts in particular, or are there problems that you had with it? Roy, I'll start with you first.
I really didn't have any problems with it. I mean, maybe on a second viewing, I might think it's a little long, but my first time through, I thought the pacing was pretty good. I'm trying to remember like specific, musical moments, but having only heard it the one time, it's kind of hard to separate them out. I really like the beginning, just him going through the shop and everything, I thought was great. You know, everybody coming in and interacting with them, I thought was all really well done. And oh, one of my favorite parts was when his cousin asks out, is her name Vanessa?
Yes. Yep.
Asks her out for Navi, and it was hilarious. And his like deep voice, and he was like, thanks a lot. Like he was trying to, oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
I really like the one scene with, Nina, when she's first coming home. I think it's, oh, what song is that? It's, God, I don't even know what it is, but it's the one where she comes back and she's kind of having that kind of self-reflection of her not making it and being a disappointment to the rest of Washington Heights. Like everybody's pinned all of their hopes and dreams on her. And then, you know, she's kind of looking through, you know, how she used to be as a kid. And then there's actually that little girl that's kind of like dancing in and out of the street and like going through and seeing everybody. And everyone's like watching her dance so fancy free and everything. And she's remembering that time of when she didn't have all that pressure on her. I love that whole musical number too, because you really got to showcase her voice. Because like the first couple of songs were more in that vein of like the rap, like spoken word kind of motif, but then, you know, she's actually able to get like the actual song and like actual like singing. And I thought her showcase, her voice was amazing. I thought she was really, really fantastic in this as well.
Yeah, I agree. Her story was so sad, you know, like her whole about how she left Stanford, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she didn't feel like she had a community. And yeah, that was just all terrible. Like how she got searched because her roommate lost her necklace, so they searched her, and I was like, ah.
Or when they, like, you know, kind of like paraded her around at like the trustees dinner, and gave her the dishes to.
Yeah, she looked like the waitstaff. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Well, and even then too, she was like, well, the waitstaff was predominantly Latino as well. So then it's like, does she side with the rich people or does she side with her people? And it's like that pull, that, you know, that tug and pull, it's like, which way do I go? And so she, you know, she's wrestling with a lot of, you know, not only identification, but it's like cultural identification. It's like, where do I go? Where do I fit in with all of this?
A couple of little things that really made me laugh so much. Obviously, Lynn and Chris Jackson's roles this movie. And I, you know, I don't post that much stuff on Facebook, really. But that was one where I was just like, hey, everybody, please stick around through the end of these credits where Samuel L. Jackson asked Lin-Manuel Miranda to join the Avengers. No, but Lin playing like the shaved ice salesperson and Chris Jackson playing Mr. Softy with an ice cream truck, like that rivalry that exists like in a bubble removed from the rest of the story seemingly is so funny. And those two were so great. And then the post-credit sequence of the truck breaking down and him being like, I told you I own this town.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then, like, so funny.
Changing the price, like,
yeah,
upping the price of shaved ice. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really loved that. I wonder if that's, is that in the musical?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
very, very funny.
And then did you notice when, because Nina. That's Jimmy Smith's daughter.
Yeah, yes. I know where you're going.
Yes.
Yep.
Whenever she has left Stanford and has told her father that, like, the due date is past and, you know, we can't pay and all this stuff. And Jimmy Smith is like, takes it upon himself to call the bursar's office and they put him on hold. And the hold music is from Hamilton. And it's the you'll be back,
mm-hmm.
except yeah. in the elevator music form of it. And I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, I gut laugh. It was great. So. I was expecting some little nods, and that was a really subtle and really good
yeah.
one.
Yeah,
yeah. And just to make it like that song too, like, you know, not even one of the big songs necessarily, mm-hmm. but like, here's this perfect elevator music song. So, but yeah, I love this movie. So here's the bad news, and I had already texted you guys. This movie did not open well. $11 million is pretty low. I'm hoping that it pulls a Greatest Showman
mm-hmm.
and lasts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it will. But then I also... So
is that number just...
just box office,
the
I think.
The theater? Or does it consider HBO Max at all?
It does not.
Yeah.
So here's the number that I'll give you for that. Is that... Mortal Kombat had 4 million households watch on the opening weekend from HBO.
Okay.
This only had 693,000.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So, that is vastly, vastly underperforming.
Also yeah. a lot lower than the Devil Made Me Do It, the Conjuring movie.
Oh.
So even in line with like the other HBO Max movies...
Yeah.
And they're also like, you know, it's like overly lopsided when you look at like New York City. It was a much higher percent. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like then like Latino families, it was a higher percent. So it's just like a lot of just white America just chose not to watch this. And that makes me kind of angry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're missing out.
They are. I'll watch it. Even more just to boost those right. numbers up. Like I'll go to take my phone and just go to remote locations. So just kind of
this is
clock into different Wi-Fi.
Courtney, we should just use our AMC A-list. If we're not going to see three movies this week, just buy another ticket for it.
I'd do that.
Just keep pumping it up. Mostly I want more musicals to happen.
Yeah.
And you know, at the theater, like we had the Dear Evan Hansen trailer. Mm-hmm. That looks good. We've still got West Side Story coming out this year.
Yeah.
You know, and I want them to continue to get funding because
yeah.
they're ones where you're always going to need like a lot of people and they're always like very grandiose in design by the way that musicals are typically shot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the technical limitations that they had to deal with, especially on that pool scene where you're not allowed to fly drones in New York City. So they couldn't do any of that. And then there were weight restrictions that made it so they couldn't put regular cranes around the pool. So to get some of those shots, they had to do some, you know, difficult stuff. But
yeah, to be a little creative with it.
A little creative thinking, problem solving. That's cool, though. That's what makes it good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, so I was just a little bummed. I thought, you know, the way this was so, like, the reviews were amazing for this. And
it's like a 9... That's got like 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Last I checked.
And they pushed it hard. You know,
they
advertised the crap out of it.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
I don't understand why people don't like musicals.
I don't know.
I don't get it. People like music.
I know, but some people
like movies.
Some people really can't understand like stopping a narrative to sing a song. Like, I know people who are like, that's what takes me out of it when you're just like, oh, we're having a conversation and now I'm singing a song. And it's like, they hate that. And I'm like, oh,
now.
I hate you.
Yeah. Well, this one, like, kind of, it does, they do that, but not, it feels way more organic. Like, they'll just, like, they'll be speaking words, or, like, most of the dialogue is in here is just part of the song. You know, kind of like Hamilton, like, a lot of the words are just more or less part of, like, the dialogue.
Well, this does have embedded more script than Hamilton, because Hamilton is basically an opera. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like all music.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
It, like you said, it is disappointing that it didn't do better, and, you know, more people haven't embraced it. But I agree with you. I hope it does have a Greatest Showman, you know, kind of resurgence midway through, when it's just like
word of mouth.
Yeah,
people get to it,
and especially I mean, like, they were, as far as what I was seeing, as far as, like, the hype was going, they were trying to hype this up as, like, the event of the summer to go see.
It was supposed to be one of the movies that, like, they wanted people to come back to see.
And that kind of part of me also was, like, maybe Warner Brothers, if they hadn't released it on HBO Max and, like, just said, you know what, let's get rid of that game plan.
But what if,
like,
it had backfired even worse?
True. Mm-hmm. True.
You know, like, if people watch on HBO, that's great. Like, I want people to watch it however they can, but, you know, but they, I'm sure they've got their metrics that they're figuring out if something's successful or not. And but what I really want is, you know, I want Lin to have lost. Remember, he was up for his last category of the EGOT for Moana.
Yeah.
And he lost out. So I want him to be like, well, now I just produced a picture that's won Best Picture. So, ha. So, we'll see.
I would be shocked if Olga Meredith, if she didn't get nominated for Abuela. I would be shocked if she did not get nominated for an Oscar. I would be very disappointed if she didn't. Because I thought she was
pretty great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Ramos, too, I thought, man, he was just so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was just so good. I just can't say it enough. We didn't even talk about the ending.
Oh, go for it.
The ending reveal, it got me. Mm-hmm. So throughout this whole movie, he's like telling the story of Washington Heights to these children. You come, they're on a beach, come to find out that those are his children. And then early in the movie, he buys this property where his father used to own a bar in Dominican Republic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so he's all about getting there, and he's like, I'm leaving next week and I'm going to be in DR. And so you think that this flash forward is like him with his family in Dominican Republic on the beach, and everything's worked out in his life. And then at the end, you know, he's struggling with leaving, and his friends like put a mural of the ocean in his father's bar into the shop that he runs. And that reveal to me was just so good. Like, it just really got me emotional. And the kids come out, and then he's finishing the story while sitting in the shop with everything around from his life. It was lovely. Just a lovely ending.
Yep. Roy, you brought that up, and I completely slipped my mind. The other, like, hard belly laugh was, you know, this graffiti artist has been, like, in and out of this movie doing stuff throughout, and he's the one who paints everything in this. But then Sonny's like, I helped. I did the crab in the corner. And it's like a terrible construction paper crab, like, taped to the wall. And then they're just arguing about it in the background. And it's
that background argument.
So good.
Well, and I loved it too, because, like, at the very beginning of the movie, like, when Usnavi is talking to the kids, like, you see this vibrantly green crab walking on the side of, like, the bar, and it's like very poignant. And then, like, when that crab comes back into the painting, you're like, oh shit, like, it just everything just connects and ties together. And I was like, I agree.
That was great. So he realized that home is just where he was, and he fully embraced it, and the best days of his life were ahead of him. Like, it was so good. Well, so such a positive ending.
Yeah, and, like, the whole movie, like, everybody's trying to escape Washington Heights. They're trying to, you know, rise above, and, like, they all have, like, their little dreams, like, the dreams that, you know, will get them out of where they're at, you know. But it ultimately comes down to, it's like, you know, they celebrate the dreamers, but like also don't get so caught up in your dreams that you miss out what's in front of you, because it may be better, you know, than what you think your dream is. And it just, that whole message and that whole kind of what you have in this community and, you know, what you're like, what's there. Don't always just overlook it trying to get the next best thing. Like there's still a lot to do and there's still a lot that you have, and to kind of, you know, relish in that and also incorporate those dreams into where you're at. You know, you don't have to lose out on a dream. You can also, you know, come up with a new dream or come up with something that's, you know, well, right there.
Yeah. And several of the characters kind of have the same thing where they think that like leaving is the way, like, you know, and then by the end, it's kind of like, well, you're going to fight to make this place better instead of just leaving, you know, whether it's going to the Dominican Republic or her trying to get a fancier apartment. You know, they're just like, you know, that idea of like, this is our home and we're going to fight for it. And there'll be a time when this whole place is erased by, you know, gentrification. But for now, this is still Washington Heights. And I also liked that, you know, we were talking about that lottery ticket and his kids want to know, like, who won the lottery? He's like, if I knew, I'd tell you. I really don't know. And the revelation that, you know, Abuela had won and she left the ticket for Usnavi, and that he uses all of that money because it turns out that Sonny is an illegal immigrant. And like that burden upon Sonny, like it was rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like at the whole protest where they're talking about not being able to vote or get into college or anything. Yeah. He just like broke down.
So.
Well, and then like, yeah, that was a catalyst too for Nina. Like she was able to figure out what she wanted to do. And you know, she wanted to become an advocate and, you know, help kids like Sonny get educations.
Yeah.
I can't believe that was Mark Antony.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh man. He was great.
Yeah.
But like also looking, like scary and run down. And I imagine that was for the character, not.
I hope so. Otherwise,
you kind of worried about Mark. Yeah, he was looking pretty frail.
And like, I didn't know that was him until the ending credits. Yeah, his name, and I was like, Mark Antony. Shit.
Yeah, because he was. Yeah. Oh man, he was. He's pretty small, if I remember. Like he's not. He's pretty short. So like, yeah. I'm like, I really hope that was just some fancy makeup or something like that. Because he was scrawny and scraggly. I'm like, oh, not a good look for you, sir.
Damn. All right. Any final thoughts? Are we just happy to tell people to watch this wherever they can and as often as they can so that it boosts those numbers up so that we can get more musicals?
Yeah. Shout it from the rooftops, man. Like, go watch this movie. It's so good. Like, you will not be disappointed at all.
Like, it is a feel-good movie. Like, by what that definition is. Like, you know, Roy, you were saying, like, it's just so positive. Like, it ends on such, like, this upper note. And then again, you get that after the credits scene and you're like, all right guys, way to go. Way to drive it home.
Yep.
So, all right, Roy, where can they find us? But if you could sing it, that would be great.
Oh man. Nobody wants that. You can find us on our website, comingoffthereels.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram at coming off the reels and on Twitter at off the reels. I still don't know how to do this. If you have any suggestions on future episodes or just want to say hello, send an email to comingoffthereels@gmail.com. Drew Martin is anxiously awaiting your feedback. Supporting the show is wonderful and easy to do. Simply rate and review wherever you like to listen. Hit the subscribe button. The show's available literally everywhere. So wherever you like to listen, rate and review, please, and that subscribe button. We also have a merchandise tab on our website, so also check that out. Let's see. Where do we go from here? Josh Rodenberg. Speaking of musicals. Yep. Well, you picked that up pretty quick.
Right.
I want to thank Josh Rodenberg for original theme, and thank you all for listening.
See, Roy, that's that rat-a-tat that you and I have developed over the years.
Yep. You can't, now, Sean, you can't teach it.
You just need to watch Buffy, so you could have jumped right in there. But no. You're over there talking about the drip.
Drips.
Okay. I guarantee more people have used drip in their vernacular than they have about Buffy. So.
I might challenge that.
You mean ever? Like of all time?
At least within the past 10 years.
Is Drip a newer thing? Or is yeah. it was it like around when we were kids?
No, I don't think he was around back then. Like, I don't know what the origins of it are, but I do know that it's part of the lexicon now. It's part of the hip lingo out there.
I'm sure TikTokers are using it, and I just don't know.
For sure.
Well, this is the worst post credits ever.
I know. And I really
Piragua. Piragua.
There we go. Way to bring it back around.
All back. There we go.
All right. Well, until next time, my name is Drew Martin.
I'm Sean McClain.
And I'm Rookie.
And this is Ben coming off the reels.